Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Leanne McAllister, and I am pleased to serve on the preaching team. No, I'm not a pastor here. It's interesting that I've been out and about in the community, and they're like, oh, you pastor at Living Waters. I used to, was associate pastor here for 10 years, but my husband and I do international work, but this is still our home, and I still get to serve in this area, which is just such a blessing. So thank you for receiving me so graciously all of the time. So we're going to continue our series called The Gift, to us, for us, and through us. I want to show you a picture of me when I was 10 years old. Oh my goodness. Honestly, I want to take her aside and let her know that life's going to get better. Like, I want to tell her that she will bloom. It might take until her late 20s to do so, but just keep hanging in. Anyway, I was rifling through pictures because I was going to tell you a little bit about my story, and I was trying to figure out, you know how you want to put it into context. Because I grew up in a Christian home, and I don't really recall the moment that I turned my life over to Christ. I can, however, remember moments of divine encounters with God through the Holy Spirit. Most notably, an experience I had at summer camp when I was about 10 years old. So this is how old I was. I was at a summer camp, and the speaker was speaking. I don't know who they are. I remember not a detail of what they said. But as the service progressed, my heart was pounding, and it was pounding harder and harder. And at the end, I couldn't get up to the altar fast enough, and there were tears streaming down my face, and a lady met me there, and she was going to pray for me, but I just remember her talking, and then she opens up her Bible, and she begins to read scripture to me, and I remember thinking, just pray with me already. And in that moment, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that experience set the course for the rest of my life. I received the gift. And so this week, as I was looking at pictures, I thought, oh my goodness, I was so young. It was before I had a chance to form all of my objections, before I put the walls up in my life. I was just a kid who was hungry for God. And the implications of this encounter had a far-reaching effect throughout my entire life. And for that, I'm grateful. You also have to remember that children are wide open to receiving what God has for them, and it's a beautiful thing. Now, there were going to be lots of twists and turns, highs, and believe me, there were some lows that would follow, but the gift cemented within me the reality of the living Christ alive in me, because I always knew that I wasn't alone. You know, I think of the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 when he's about to be arrested. And he's sharing with his disciples before this arrest, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. I've experienced that comfort that Jesus spoke of, his presence in some of the dark, dark moments of grief that I've gone through in my life. I've also felt the conviction of the Spirit many, many times in my life. Last week, Dave talked about the tongues of fire as a symbol of God purifying us as he works out his transformation in our lives. It's like, yep, I've experienced that. Times when my secret life was brought into the light, which seriously, is that not a terrifying thing? But finding myself not feeling exposed, not feeling wrecked, but actually feeling free and clean, having been met by God and by others with love and acceptance and forgiveness. I have received power. You know, Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 3, you know, we would experience power as Christ followers, the power to live a holy life, the power to prevail, the power to be obedient, the power to have our eyes open to the grace of God in our lives. And I've experienced that. I've experienced his anointing at different times to move forward in obedience in various situations, when he's called me into things that are way beyond what I could ever hope to do, he's made me brave and he's filled my mouth. It has been a lifelong journey that will continue as I keep learning how to live in step with the Spirit. And sometimes I miss it big time. But we serve a God of the second, third, fourth, fifth, I'm waiting for an amen, sixth, seventh, eighth chances. Here's the thing, his grace never runs out, ever. And we get to flourish, enjoying the life of the fullness of life that we were created for. See, this was the plan that Jesus had for all who would follow him. And I love how Dave shared last week that the gift of the Spirit was just the next step in the unfolding story of God coming close to humanity. Now, I don't want us to get the impression that the Holy Spirit was new on the scene at the upper room. Far from it. The Holy Spirit was part of the Trinity. He was present at creation. But I think of it this way. The Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God. And how he functioned over history changed. For example, in the Old Testament, the Spirit was given to specific people for special circumstances or tasks. For example, Joseph was empowered by the Spirit to interpret dreams. The prophets were given special knowledge to understand what was going on around them from God's perspective. So the Spirit was hovering there, but operated within limits. And then came Jesus in the flesh. I mean, God came very near, and he was on a mission to transform hearts, to bring a new creation, a new kingdom. He then dies, and he's resurrected, but he assures his followers that they were not going to be left alone. God was going to come near in a new way. And he instructs them to wait in Jerusalem. He says, don't leave. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so they waited. And then in Acts chapter 2, we read, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Crazy story, right? It would be easy to dismiss it and say, well, that's just an odd bit in the Bible. Moving on. But, you know, we could ask ourselves, what does that event have to do with us living here in this day? Well, the promise, the gift given to those who waited in the upper room is the same promise, the same gift that you and I have as well. We too will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It is amazing. You see, we are spirit people. The personal presence of Jesus flows within us like a river. And this is God's beautiful grace in our lives. And our only job is to welcome the fullness of the Spirit. And our quest is, as one writer put it, to learn how to live by the energy and influence of God's Spirit. Now, we have all felt the glow. Do you know what I'm talking about? The glow of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps that was the first time your heart was awakened to, oh my goodness, there might actually be a God, and oh my goodness, could he be, you know, chasing me? Or perhaps a time when you were in worship and the presence of God was so thick that you didn't want to move. Or a time when you were reading scripture and something jumped out at you and you saw something that you'd never seen before and you knew that God was speaking to you. I mean, the glow, it was beautiful. But if we reduce the Holy Spirit to just those glow moments, we're missing out on the fuller picture. Because the Spirit is given for mission. Now, if we look back in Acts chapter 2, back to the upper room, this supernatural event occurs. And people come running because it's loud. And people are beginning to hear their own languages. And they're trying to make sense out of what's happening. And the group literally spilled out onto the street. And Peter starts preaching. Peter starts prophesying. He's empowered by the Spirit in a way that I am sure just blew his mind as he's going, who is this and how am I doing this? And 3,000 people responded to the gospel. See, he fills us to spill us. See, when the personal presence of Jesus flows within us like a river, it is meant to flow out of us as well, through us. As spirit people, the mission of Jesus becomes our mission. His priorities become our priorities. And he uses us in supernatural ways to move his kingdom forward. And to do this, he gives us spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are special abilities given to us by God for specific purposes. One commentator describes it this way: we're given gracious endowments leading to miraculous results. So basically, we're given abilities that are way beyond us. We read about some of these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Because here's Paul, and he's helping the early church kind of figure out how to live by the energy and influence of the Spirit. And so he writes to them, listen, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So there's different gifts. Each one of us in the body is gifted uniquely in a way that's going to help all of us. And Paul's concern in this text is for the unity in the church. And sometimes when we think of unity, we think the same. But unity does not mean uniformity. So while we all share the same mission, we're all going in the same direction, empowered by the same Spirit, what it looks like in our individual lives is uniquely ours. I love the creativity of God. See, throughout his writings, Paul catalogs the different spiritual gifts. And Dave showed us this chart last week. There were revelation gifts, good advice, special knowledge, etc. There were vocal gifts, such as tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, power gifts, faith, healing, service gifts, serving, teaching, leadership, administration, distinct gifts. And no one has it all. And honestly, if you had it all, I probably wouldn't like you. But no one has it all. And there's a reason for that is because we actually, you know, God puts us in this position where we actually have to lean into one another. We actually need the gifts of our brother and our sister because they help us. When we step out in these abilities, it leads to miraculous results where we actually get to watch as God accomplishes what only he can do. So our bit in participating in God's mission will be uniquely ours. Like if we took a survey here, there'd be different ministries, different emphases, different activities. At this point in my life, I'm working in the area of women internationally, calling them on into God's big mission. And to accomplish this in power, he's given me the gift of wisdom and also the gift to prophesy as I speak truth into women's lives and as I call them out and let them, that's prophecy. And he's given that to me for my bit right now. Now, my husband Darcy works with leaders and he has been given the gift of discernment, which I watch him work in every day, all day, honestly. As he's trying to figure out what's really going on here and to be able to kind of parse through and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, holy smokes, how do you do that? There have been occasions where I've actually watched Darcy work in the gift of great faith. That's super fun to watch him. Doesn't happen very often, but sometimes there'll be an obstacle that we're facing, and you know, I'm like all despairing and everything, and Darcy will go, watch this. Now, he's not saying, watch me. God will give him a great faith that will rise up, and he goes, Leanne, watch what God will do. See, that's a gift of great faith. The gifts of the Spirit are not about you being awesome. It's not about your talent, your ability, your passion, and believe me, it has nothing to do with your personal fulfillment. In fact, when God uses you in these ways, it will humble you. It will take you to your knees because it is such an encounter with God and His holiness and His strength and His might and His power, and it places you in this place of awe. See, I always know it's the Holy Spirit when it's smarter than I could ever hope to be. And those moments turn me to worship. See, the gifts are simply about God at work in you and through you to bring His kingdom. Now, I want to show you a picture of our daughter, Robin. She was 5 years old. And she had asked for her training wheels to be taken off of her little bike, her little red bike. Robin had been watching the other kids in the complex buzzing by on their bikes, and she wanted that freedom. I imagine she wanted to, you know, feel the wind through her hair. She wanted to be a big girl. She wanted it all. But as you can see, she's going forward, but she's very concerned that Dad has let go. She doesn't want to give up control. We used to take our kids to the swimming pool. One of our kids was a total fish. Like, it was almost scary to parent him near the pool, because he'd be on the high dive, like, watch, you know, and off with a belly flop and everything. My other two were far more cautious around the pool. They were kind of more comfortable hanging on the side of the pool, inching themselves along. You know what I'm talking about? They're inching themselves along, and they'll say, you know, they'd say, look, mommy, I'm swimming. Look, mommy, mommy, look, look, I'm swimming. And I think to myself, no, no, you're not. That was my inside voice. But those pictures to me illustrate my push and pull with God. I am certain you can relate, because you see, we want both. We want adventure. We want the wind in our hair. We want abandonment. We want intimacy with Christ. We get glimpses. We have tastes where we see it, and that's what we want, but we also want safety. We say, Lord, I give you my all. Lord, have it all. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Whatever you want to do in my life, you go ahead and do it. But here's just a little list so you can know what my preferences are and the gifts that I would receive gratefully and those that I would decline. See, we want control, right? And at the root of this is fear. And we can be afraid to explore or understand our spiritual gifts, because maybe we've seen abuses in the past, and I get it. Seriously, I don't want to be a flake. I don't want to be a weirdo. I don't think I am. Am I? Am I a weirdo? No. I'm normal, right? But the bottom line is this. It's the fear of man and what others will think of us, and it paralyzes us to respond to God. Sometimes there's also a fear of God himself and what it would be like if God takes over. Well, let me be clear. The Holy Spirit is gentle. We never lose control of ourselves. Like, when I speak in tongues, I can start speaking in tongues and I can stop speaking in tongues. I always have control of my body. Did you know that that God knows that he can be overwhelming? Like, he gets it. That's why through Scripture again and again, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Look to me. Don't be afraid. See, the enemy wants you afraid, because if you are afraid, again, you are paralyzed. We also fear making mistakes, especially as we step out in new gifts. Look again at Robin's picture. Now, I'm the photographer here. It just cracked me up so bad. I was just like, I got to get a picture of this. What is my delight as a parent? What is my delight in this moment? Is my delight that she nails it? No. My delight is that she is moving past her fear. My delight is that she took a step that was risky for her and taking off those training wheels. My delight was that she was trying. See, we have a good father, and he delights in us. He delights in us, not necessarily when we nail it, but he delights when we show up and when we try. And so we can make mistakes, and it is okay. So what can we do? Firstly, determine to receive the gift in fullness, however God wants that to look in your life. Don't go to him with a list of what you are willing and unwilling to participate in. Don't deny it because you don't understand it. And let me assure you, the Holy Spirit is not scary. The Holy Spirit is the purest, holiest, most amazing presence and experience that you will ever, ever be a part of. And so take the risk. Secondly, pray for the gifts. Farther on in today's text, Paul says that we should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And I don't know about you, but I want to be useful. I want to be effective, perhaps even powerful. And so I pray for an increasing of his gifts in my life. Darcy and I are currently praying for an increase in the gift of faith. I want more moments when my husband says to me, just watch. I want more moments of that. You know, in our work, the stakes are high, and it's requiring us to believe God at greater and greater levels. And so we're praying for that. Recognize the gifts when they are given. I want us to look at this chart again that Dave had from last week. When we look at it, likely you have already been operating in a couple of these gifts. You just didn't know it. And it's important to actually identify your gifts. We have worked with leaders that have been walking with Jesus for 40 years and can't tell us what their spiritual gifts are. That is a problem. You need to understand what your gifts are. And so how you can do that is to pay attention to your life. Are there times when you've done something that is way beyond you? Maybe you gave really good advice and thought to yourself, whoa, where did that come from? Or you served in a situation that in yourself you weren't feeling, and yet somehow you had compassion and loads of it. Or you had a crazy confidence to speak truth into a situation. See, that's the Holy Spirit at work through you. That's the gift through you. Learning community. Last week, Dave talked about the early church and how they were learning together. I mean, think of the scene where they are in the upper room. They tumble out onto the street. Peter is preaching with a mic drop, you know, and there's no strategic planning. They're learning on the fly, learning how to walk with the Spirit as he empowered them in mission, but they did it together, and we need to do this together as we move forward in the gifts. So we can ask others, you know, what do you see in me? Or if you see someone operating a gift, affirm it. Say, oh my goodness, that was a lot of wisdom, or like whatever it is, call out the giftedness in others, because it's really important to name it and encourage them as they step out in faith. We also need to have people that we can learn from, maybe people who are farther down the road. I have a mentor who is in her 70s. And she has been walking a life in the Spirit probably, I want to say, for 50-plus years. And there's times when I'm trying things, learning things, or whatever, and I can always ring her up and say, hey, what do you think of this? And she just helps me. Finally, practice. You know, we know that when we try new things in life, there's going to be a learning curve for us. Think about when you first tried to learn to ride a bike or to drive a car. Or think about the first few days or weeks of your job. There were things to learn, and you know what? Mistakes were inevitable. You just expected that the mistakes were going to happen. So then why do we expect perfection from ourselves when it comes to matters of the Spirit? Seriously. Try. I always think, you know, no one's going to die from a misplaced word of exhortation. No one's going to die here, right? Like, try. So the next time you have a nudging, you know what I'm talking about, that nudging, a sense to go with, go talk with, pray with, serve with, do it. Because God will fill your mouth. And I always just think, go with what you have. And you'll be amazed at how powerfully God will show up. I'll give you a little secret. Every Saturday night when I'm going to preach on Sunday morning, around 8:30, I come to Darcy and I say, I got nothing. No, I'm serious. I have nothing. There's nothing here. And then Darcy always goes, perfect. You're exactly where you need to be. See, without the Spirit, what are we doing here? Seriously. We'd have some nice music. Without the Spirit, we'd have a nice social time. Without the Spirit, at best, what I would give you is a motivational talk that might pump your tires a bit. What I have learned is that when I got nothing, but I take the step trusting Jesus and I open my mouth going with what I have, God meets me there and he fills my mouth. So try. You know, when you practice, he'll begin to learn how God speaks to you. The two of us have been married for, it'll be 29 years in August. And it's getting to the point where I feel like I can almost read Darcy's mind. I can anticipate what he's thinking. I kind of know what he needs. How is that possible? That's possible because of lots and lots and lots of time together. That's me watching him for over 30 years. That's me experiencing him for over 30 years. This is the same way with the Holy Spirit, with practice, with time, with experience. It gets easier and easier to hear him, but it is always a risk. There's so many times I think we just want it all lined up. Then we're going to step out. That's not how it works. I want to recommend a book to you that I have really appreciated in the past couple of years called River Dwellers, Living in the Fullness of the Spirit by Dr. Rob Reimer. And if this series has really tweaked for you, I encourage you to read that. And ask the worship team to come back, because I want to sing the song, You Make Me Brave. I hope they're here. Oh, they are here. Good. You Make Me Brave. I asked for that song this morning. The words go, you make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. We didn't sing. You called me out to inch along the side of the pool, yelling, I'm swimming! I'm swimming! He calls us out. See, the life in Christ should be the most adventurous, the most thrilling, the most satisfying life a human being can live, and you are called to adventure. Last time I preached on life in the Spirit, the promises of God. And I remember just like preaching and saying, these promises are for you. I feel like this is a twin message, because what I want to say to you this morning is these gifts are for you. And every single week, I want stories of God at work in me. I want stories of God around me. I want stories of God through me. And how does that happen? that happens through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Is that what you want? That's what I want. Lead us.
Lord, we are interested in hearing you together. We, God, need you. And the places where we live and the people around us need you. And I pray that this coming week we would continue to be a hearing people. Lead us across our streets. Lead us across the office floor. May we be a people this week that would speak for you and serve on your behalf. May this be a week when there's multiplication, because people are added to the family of God because of conversion. We pray that this coming week, people would have a better week because they've been helped and served well by the people of this community. We desire this week, O God, to be used in the most helpful gifts as we come in contact and conversation with others. May we serve with the most helpful gifts in a way that would help people in very practical ways, and ultimately in a way that would bring glory and honor to you, the head of our church, as we seek to lift you up in a spoken word and through a simple act of service. We pray that many this week would be drawn closer to the heart and love of God. We believe, God, that the stakes are high. Release us now to do good deeds and good works and give special attention to our brothers and sisters in the Lord in this room. Release us to a week that would absolutely surprise us because of the grace given and the grace extended through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For joining us today. Trust we'll see you perhaps during the week sometime, if not next Sunday, as we continue in our final message on the gift. Thank you. Thank you, Lan.